Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Before starting the sermon, I want to take just a minute to piggyback on Jeff's comment with the children this morning. You know, every time you try something new, there's always a little murmuring going on in the congregation. Now, what's this all about? What is this sermons of service stuff? And what are we going to do? What, aren't we going to have church on Sunday? Just want to sort of let everybody know what's coming down next Sunday. What we're going to do is we're going to pick up on a long-standing tradition in the Reformed faith, one that comes to us primarily through John Calvin, but Calvin got it through the Franciscan tradition. And it's that tradition that we've often quoted St. Francis as saying, "Go out and proclaim the gospel, and if necessary, use words." Well, next week, we're not going to use our words. We're going to do it with action. And that will be our worship, which is a very Reformed position from John Calvin's theology, that you put your faith to work as worship. So we're going to gather here right in the sanctuary, the way we always do, but we're only going to be together for about 10 minutes. We're going to sing a hymn, we're going to have some prayer, and we're going to get a little instruction, and then we're going to go off into Fellowship Hall and get some more instruction, and we're going to have all these projects ready for us to assemble so we can help people in other parts of the world. And a group of us, whoever wants to, is going to go out in our own neighborhood in the Skycrest community, and we're going to go out with trash bags to pick up trash in the community, and we're going to have a few door hangers to put on people's doors just to let them know about our congregation and to give them the date for the next Sermons of Service Sunday, because they may have some projects that we might want to help them with. And our session has decided to do this every time this year now, every time we have a fifth Sunday. So we'll do it about four times a year and put our faith to work. So I hope everybody will come, because it'll be a lot of fun. Not only will you be putting together these projects, but you can visit, and it'll be a lot of fellowship and fun. I mean, we're Presbyterians. We'll have some food out there, too, so don't worry. Yes? Will there be an offering? We'll pass the plate before we let you go into the... Just so the finance committee doesn't abandon ship, okay? We will pass the plate. So we'll just be doing things a little differently. It's going to be fun. And we're going to help people. So come. Also, let me dress down next Sunday, okay? Especially if you're planning on being part of the crew that wants to go out and walk around the neighborhood some, dress appropriately for that. It's going to be a good time. Money makes the world go round, the world go round, the world go round. Money makes the world go round, it makes the world go round. A mark, a yen, a buck or a pound, a buck or a pound, a buck or a pound is all that makes the world go round. That clinking, clanking sound, it makes the world go round. Money, 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 money makes the world go round. So it must be Stewardship Sunday. You know, we heard that wonderful gospel reading about taxes. I got a couple of stories about taxes I want to share with you. The first one is about a group of guys I used to have coffee with back on the square in Forsyth, Georgia. I'd go over to this little cafe about, two, three times a week. But every morning of the week, of weekdays, at 10 o'clock, this group of men were around the table having coffee. And I would go over two or three times, and there was always lots of kibitzing and gossip about what was going on in the community and so forth. But there was this one particular fellow, man, he was just relentless about his criticism of the government. I mean, the government was the foundation of all the world's problems. The government does this to me. The government does that to me. The government wants this. The government wants that. He was talking about taxes all the time. I don't want to pay my taxes. The government just wastes my money. And one day, another guy who had been very quiet in the conversation asked him, said, "You're retired, aren't you?" And he said, "Well, yeah, I'm retired. Where did you work?" 30 years with the post office. The other story is when I lived on Capitol Hill. One Saturday afternoon, I was walking across the big plaza there on the east side of the Capitol, and there had just been a big demonstration down on the mall, an anti-tax demonstration. And I happened to meet a group, there were probably 50 people in this group coming toward me, just running as fast as they could, but they were still holding their signs that said, "Do away with the IRS. And as they were running across the plaza holding their signs up, their leader was yelling back to them, "Hurry up, or we're going to miss our free tour of the Capitol." You know, sometimes this whole idea of paying taxes, this whole idea of giving back, benefits us all. Some people may sacrifice a little bit more than others, but it benefits us all. And this parable, or this story that we just heard about the elders and the priests, they were set out, plotted to entrap Jesus. They were out to get him. And it has echoes of some of these parables that come just before this story, where Jesus is talking about the landowners sending out the servants to do this and sending out their sons to do this. Well, the priests have sent out this group of people to Jesus to entrap him. And one of the groups is the Herodians. The Herodians were followers and workers of Herod. You might say they were part of Herod's bureaucracy. They sort of ran Herod's government. The Herodians did. And Herod was the figurehead of the Roman Empire in Jerusalem. And so you've got these government officials and religious officials going out to trap Jesus, because they've already said they're out to get him. It's nearly like you're sitting at home on a Saturday afternoon and you get a knock at the door and you open the door and it's the church stewardship committee and the IRS at the same time saying, "We want to talk to you." And they ask him this question: is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Now, this sounds like a pretty straightforward question. But to us, not to people living in Jerusalem at that time, not those people living in this Roman-occupied territory where failure to pay your taxes meant death. So Jesus has to be careful about his answer. And the operative word here in this question is it lawful? And Jesus says, "Show me the coin that you use to pay these taxes." And by showing them the coin, they play their hand and tell him, "We're talking about taxes to the emperor." Because the coin has the emperor's picture on it. Because you see, there was another kind of tax they paid. It was called the temple tax. And it was also connected to law. And all of the Jewish people in that time were very familiar with the law, which starts off with what is known as the Shema. Do you know what the Shema is? It goes like this. It's Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Ehad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And it's followed by, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. So you see, what Jesus does by asking for this coin is he puts this theoretical question into the practicality of their lives immediately. And he exposes that these people deal with two kinds of taxes. So which one are you talking about here? But what the Shema does, and what that first commandment does, is it gives Jesus his answer. He says, "Give to the emperor that which is the emperor's, and to God that which is God's." But if you are a good Jew and you know the Shema, and you know and live by that first commandment, then your ultimate allegiance is to God because the emperor has no thing beyond God, nor does anyone. At the deepest level, there is no giver, there is no gift, there is no recipient, there is only the universe rearranging itself. We don't own anything. Nobody does. Individuals, communities, congregations, nations, humanity as a whole. We don't own anything. It's all a part of this amazing system. This amazing system of give and take and share. And the ultimate good of this system is God. And we have a tendency to forget that. We walk around in this amazing experience we call life. And we have the audacity to take credit for it. You know, one of my favorite cartoons is one of those, I think it was a Far Side cartoon. It's called Agnostic Fleas. These two fleas are walking along in what is obviously a forest of great big hair. And one flea says to the other, "You know, sometimes I wonder if there really is a dog." That's us. That's us. We're fish in the ocean complaining about the water. We live and breathe in God's presence. And the presence of God is not some guy with a white beard sitting on a throne somewhere. The presence of God is what holds the universe together. The scriptures call that love. God is love. God is spirit. The scriptures have many, many images for God. Those are just a few. But at God's essence is this eternal, constant, life-giving presence that is always with us. And everything we think we have, we really don't. You know, I ran across a quote recently that I tried to track it down. But it's attributed to so many different people, and all the way from Wendell Berry, the poet, to Native Americans, to the Amish. It's attributed to a lot of people. But the quote goes like this. It says, "We do not inherit the earth from our ancestors. We borrow it from our children." Think about that. That is the essence of stewardship. Because what we are today is the seed of the future. Sure, it's got a lot to do with what we've been in the past, but that's gone. What we really are today is the seed of the future. We are borrowing today from our children and our grandchildren. And that is the essence of stewardship. We don't really own anything. Nobody does, not even the emperor. Now, does that mean you're not supposed to go out and pay your taxes? Please don't do that. Because Jesus did say, give to the emperor what is the emperor's. But the implication of that is whatever the emperor has, it's on loan. Give to the church what is the church's. For whatever the church has, it's on loan. Whatever you have is on loan. And you borrowed it from future generations. Amen. You know, the more I look at the gospel, the older I get, the simpler it becomes. Because basically the gospel boils down to this. God says in so many, many different ways, I am with you. I am in you. I am through you. I am for you. And Jesus comes along, and all he's trying to say is, come on. Follow me and experience this amazing fullness in which we live. Amen.